Welcome to the Delling Pod with me, James Delling Pod. And I know I say I'm excited about this week's guest, but it's Dick. So I don't know what that means. It's been back. So long since I forgot that I've actually forgotten how we even do our intro. I remember that you're the only person who's a guest, not a special guest.
Yeah, to keep everyone else special.
But I've forgotten what spiel I use. But we're both in really bad moods, aren't we?
You could have caught us half an hour ago and it might have been a lot better, but I think we'll just push through it. But we've just had tech horror.
Yeah. So we
used to be a lot more techy than we are now. Once understood technology. No, we've always been crap.
Less of this wee, Dick. You are the tech person. I've never been about
it. It's all left me behind. I once slightly understood it, but now it's just for the kids now, isn't it?
You used to be my go-to tech advisor.
Yeah, I know. That shows how far I've fallen.
Well, you always sounded slightly irritated, even when you claimed to know about stuff that might have been able to help.
Remember the early days of Macs when you had to install something? You had to actually, it wasn't just about putting the program on and going and pressing go like you can today. You had to put all the extra bits and pieces in the correct folders, and it was so complicated back then. But you didn't know any of that, and so I had to do all that for you.
Don't try and tell me that we're now living in a golden age. I think things have got much, much worse. Look, so this my week has been utterly, utterly ruined by the decision of my, because it isn't, they're evil, the decision of my Mac Mini to basically die on me. I had to rebuild the OS, if you know what that means. iCloud, put everything on iCloud and it will store all your shit. It doesn't. It totally doesn't. It doesn't remember any of your passwords. It doesn't remember. So you've got to, all the apps you've installed, like my Ledger for my cryptos and stuff, I've now had to, you know, reinstall that on the computer that I'm using as a temporary computer while the new one arrives. And then I'll have to go through this all again. I don't know how many hours I've wasted this week just doing this technical stuff.
I feel your pain. I've been through the same, having lost a phone, and it's now back to the stage where insurance has got me exactly the same phone. There's a good old cloud to back it up. And so I tried to do it and it's about 2 years out of date. So I've lost about 2 years worth of my life.
The cloud is a con. I think it's designed. It's an extortion method, obviously, but it's more than that. It's designed to get information on us to be used against us, isn't it?
No, it seems to be freely available to anyone who wants to hack in. Who is that actress who had nude pictures? One who's in Girl with the Bow and Arrow, and she's liberated.
Oh, Katniss Everdeen.
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah.
She had naughty pictures that became accessible via the cloud, apparently.
Well,
now,
not
I would hate
to me.
For my naughty pictures to be.
Have you taken it? I have never, ever, ever taken a photograph of my penis. Have you?
I don't particularly want to even look at it live.
No. Well, I wasn't going to show it you live.
Least of all, have anyone else look at it. No, mine.
Oh, yours. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's the thing. Why would you? I once went to a lunch hosted by this famous fashion designer whose suits I used to wear. I won't mention his name, but I mean, he's not un-gay. And halfway through the lunch, people started passing around iPhones with dick pics on them, and I was thinking, this is not what I want to go with my lunch. I'm not interested in seeing people's penises.
But it's all the rage, apparently.
Yeah, I know.
It seems to me, some people seem to see it as a normal part of dating, but really, if that's it, then I'm glad I'm not on the market anymore.
Do you not feel that the world is passing us by, that we're living in an age so completely messed up that there's really no place in it for likes of you and me, you know, normal people. As opposed to normal.
I think that's what they want us to think. I think we can actually claw back what we once saw as a normal world. I mean, take this. It's been brewing, this thing on me. I've got to get it out. This thing, I've had a spat with some normie Christians.
Oh, yeah.
And it's made me realize why everyone seems to hate Christians, because they think everyone's a normie Christian.
Yeah.
And by normie Christian, I mean the sort of like clinging to the minorities within the church, you know, doing anything they can to encourage the LGBT side of things, and you know, getting in people who probably have zero faith but just want to belong to something where they can wave their little multicolored flags about and feel wanted. So there was this I've got the screenshots of it today. It started off with some randomer saying I've got the screenshot.
Some randomer. I hate them already, Dick. Randomer.
She said, randomer. Today our landlord told us a plumber she'd contacted to come and fix our boiler had refused because he didn't approve of our lesbian lifestyle. This is what it's like being LGBTQ+ in 2020, folks. Sad, bewildered face. Now, I mean, there's worse things that can happen than having a plumber not turn up. But did it really happen? Does that seem likely to you?
No.
So naturally, a lot of people filed it under things that never happened.
Yeah.
And and obviously, our Christian lesbian took that to heart. And so she said, so, again, starting a sentence was so automatically going to wind me up. I know I just did it, but it's a bad start. So I've woken up this morning to hundreds of horrible tweets about the homophobia my partner and I have experienced yesterday.
Yeah.
Again, this is what being LGBTQ+ is like in 2020. When I go to church this morning, I will light a candle and pray for you all. So obviously a good person, because she's telling us this, you know, A, that she goes to church, and B, that she's going to light a candle and pray for all of us horrible people. I'm assuming I'm included in this. But what really rankled was all the right-on gay and lesbian and women priests who piled in just to make... the worst one was this ghastly... I think she's from the Left Footers, but she goes... She's some sort of priest woman. Yeah. I'm sorry you're on the receiving end of such crap. It's just relentless praying for you this morning, beloved child of God and precious sibling in Christ.
Oh, precious sibling.
Talk about laying it on with a trowel. That is just sick bag.
Do you not think that God actually really hates that kind of Christian? Because I think he'd find them
in very least. I think at the very least he's rolling his eyes.
Well,
and
Dick,
potentially reaching for...
Think about it. Yeah. Think about the implications of this. Do you think he wants to live with these people when they ascend, if and when they ascend into heaven? I don't think he's going to cope. He doesn't want... I mean, I know he's all loving and stuff, but I think he has a point where he just thinks, sod this.
I don't think he wants to change all the toilets to unisex. I mean, it's that in itself is having to change heaven to suit them is probably going to be a bit of an issue.
Yeah, but no, you're absolutely right about the annoying Christians giving Christianity a really bad rap. I mean, it's just you get. Yeah,
I've enjoyed this whole going down the Christian rabbit hole. You know, I've really loved the fact that you can. Among a bunch of our type of people, you can say, you can talk about the Christianity thing, and if they switch on to it, you're in, and it's fantastic. And if they don't, then you just don't talk about Christianity. But you realize why so many people hate Christians and why they roll their eyes at them, because for them, it's these kind of people that it is the Christian church, and this is why no one goes to church.
Did you see?
And if you...
Do you remember that the hassle our friend Jamie Franklin got when he tweeted
when out suggesting that it was a wonderful thing to have children?
Yeah. And I mean, there's quite a bit of biblical evidence to suggest that this is kind of part of God's plan, like in Lawrence Fox's favorite psalm. Is it 127? Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. He likes people to have kids, and he thinks it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. And yet when Jamie Franklin tweets about it, who are the people who jump down his throats? They are exactly the kind of people you just described.
They're the same people.
Often they're woke vicars, often female vicars. I don't know why. It's like they've all been copying the Vicar of Dibley, haven't they? They think they want to be like her with her inverted satanic cross, just to show they're not really Christians. They're into something else. It's extraordinary that these people have had, well, actually, we know exactly what it is. It's institutional capture. Every institution, did you hear the London Calling, where Toby was unusually cucked, I thought. I mean, even by his standards. I could almost have been talking to Tom Harwood or somebody on that. Yeah, it was the podcast, it was the London Calling, the most recent one, where the sound was bad. I talked a bit about hunting, but it had to be cut out because most of it was muffled. And we talked about Toby in Mexico. And there was a bit at the end where I said, the army has been destroyed from within. The church has been destroyed from within. The Oxford and Cambridge have been destroyed from within. And he came up with this spiel, which I might have considered vaguely credible about 10 years ago before I knew better, whereby he said, these institutions are there to protect us from the forces of woke. And you're thinking, hang on, Tobes, if these institutions are woke, how are they going to protect us from the thing that they themselves embody? I worry about Tobes sometimes. I mean, even though he went to Oxford, Cambridge and Yale, I think, I worry about his intelligence. I'm not sure whether he's actually as bright as he ought to be, given the way he pronounces on stuff.
He really doesn't get it sometimes, does he? But obviously we know that this is part of the charm that makes London Calling. You know, he's got to be that way. If he were, he'd been completely won over.
I need my rage.
It makes life very... Yeah, yeah.
Apparently, I've got this... there's a girl on my... she's a girl. I call her a girl. On my Telegram channel, chat group, you know, where I can be quite hardcore. And this girl, Carla, is she does astrological charts and stuff, which I know we Christians are not supposed to dabble in, but I find it quite interesting anyway. And apparently I've got two fire things in my birth, which makes me very, very fiery and angry and full of this passion. And I suppose that I need annoyances like Toby to work me up into the appropriate fit of righteous peak, sort of Old Testament type wrath. So you're right. I do. Toby needs to remain. If Toby became like me, I think it would be the death of London Calling. We need somebody there talking complete horseshit. Yeah.
But then it would be kind of job done, wouldn't it? It'd be like Oxfam if they'd solved world poverty. I mean, they'd have to move on to something else. So, where do you stand on the female priest things? Because I've been wondering about this. The church seems unduly obsessed with it. If you look on any of the churchy websites, they're absolutely determined to have 50-50 balance on this. As far as I'm concerned, I'd rather look for good people rather than people of a particular gender. I don't think it matters that much as long as you're good at your job.
I tell you what would
be... And that counts for everything.
The quality I would be looking for is... I know I'm going to be quite controversial here. I think they ought to believe in God as a sort of entry point.
But you're just putting obstacles in the way now, aren't you?
No, I know, because it's quite a big ask, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I think that rules out a good 80% of the current Church of England clergy and a fair few Catholics as well.
I think most of them think that he is a big sky fairy and that if he... obviously he doesn't really exist, but if he did, he's kind of a social worker. Oh, sorry.
Are you assuming his gender?
Zay.
There you go. You'd never make it through the first stage.
I wouldn't make it in the CV. Oh, can I tell you something else about Jamie? Because I had a chat with him the other day. He was asking me about somebody or other, and should he trust them or not? And I said, well, Jamie, I think this person's all right. When you see them, you don't need to suck with a long spoon. And he said, I don't know what you mean. This is going back to our earlier point about how the world is passing us by. How can anyone not know the phrase, when you sup with the devil, we sup with a long spoon? Did you know?
I've heard it, but I've probably not known what it means. Is it the story of how in hell they're feeding each other with long spoons?
No.
Not that one.
That sermon that we got about three times at our prep school, I think, by different... Do you remember that
people
one?
People thinking it was the first time we've heard it. And it's like, oh, God, this one again.
We sort of rolled our eyes. We're not going to mention it, are we? We're going to tell people what the sermon is?
No, it's just too dumb for words.
Look it up, yeah. I looked into the origins of the phrase, you know, when you sup with the devil, sup with a long spoon. And it turns out that it's from the late 14th or 13th century, I forget which. And it gets mentioned in Shakespeare quotes it. And I just think, do you remember when we were growing up, our sort of grandfather would use phrases which seemed very archaic. Or even our father would use terms like gen for information or there were all these words and words like bumpf. No one uses bumpf anymore, do they? To meaning paper. No. And do people call waste paper baskets wagga paggers? I don't
know. Was that not just a Malvern thing? It's hard to know whether these things were just
wagga.
Malvern or
no anything. I think wagga. I think our generation probably knows what certain privately educated people from our generation know what a wagga is. I don't know, but it worries me if the phrase sups with the long spoon has lasted from the late 14th century all the way to me. And now it's stopped. It hasn't reached Jamie Franklin's generation. Should I worry about that?
I'm currently rereading 1984.
Oh, yeah. And thank you.
It's definitely something that is worth rereading as an adult. If you're used to it as having read it as a teenager, you get a completely different take on it. And of course, now in this dystopian time, when we know we're actually living 1984, it's so much more meaning. And one of the things they're doing in 1984, in the 1984 world, is gradually eliminating words that may be problematic, words that could be used to think ill of Big Brother. So rather than banning the use of them, they're just eliminating the words altogether. So they're no longer in the dictionary. And this is kind of what's happened, isn't it?
Yeah.
And if you remember Winston Smith's job, he works for the Ministry of Truth, doesn't he?
As in the BBC.
And his job is to rewrite old copies of the Times when Big Brother has decided that certain people have fallen out of favor and they become unpersons. And so like that Stalin picture, when the people stood with him are gradually airbrushed out, it's his job to go back and rewrite the stories so these people are completely taken out. All of this stuff is just so very now, but the change in language and the dumbing down, surely all part of the bigger plan. If you haven't got the words, you can't think the thoughts.
I thought you were going to say to me that when you read it originally, you thought Big Brother was a bad guy, but having read it later on in life, you realised
now I love Big Brother.
Yeah, well, isn't that the idea, that he learns to love Big Brother? Maybe
that's
the lesson.
That's how it ends, isn't it? Yeah,
that's the lesson we should all absorb. Well, it's like with Brave New World. I remember reading it and thinking, this is so much less dystopian than 1984, because it's kind of
what it is.
Cool, because
lots of sex.
Yeah, that's what we thought at the time. We thought sex and drugs. Yeah. What's not to like? Soma everywhere.
Yeah, because we would be alphas or at very least B beaters. So yeah. It's sort of like, but remember 1984 goes straight into grimness. You're already fully into the completely realized dystopia, and he can't talk to anyone without being afraid that he's going to be exposed. He can't even have the wrong facial expression in case a screen picks him up. So, I'll take Brave New World over 1984 World every time.
As long as you're an alpha, which basically means you want to be Elon Musk. You don't want to be, James Dellingpole. Do you? You really don't.
No.
Did you like my thing on GB News?
I saw a little bit of it that was shared on our family group chat, and I've got to go back and seek out the rest of it. But
it was,
we finally got round to your appearance there, having failed miserably with your internet connection beforehand. Yeah,
I think it was good to allay the concerns of the more conspiratorily minded of our followers, which basically means most of them. That this wasn't on this occasion GB News being controlled opposition and deliberately sabotaging a contrary voice, but was actually genuinely down to my crap tech. So I'm hoping that they'll have me back. I just think, GB News, in some ways, I think it's not their fault that they are the thing that they are, because they are prisoners of Ofcom. And the girl, the woman who runs Ofcom, is a childhood friend of ours. You know, we were at prep school with her brother, and I used to go to all her parties and stuff. Melanie, and
oh gosh, really?
Yeah, she's now head of Ofcom. Now, you know, Melanie, nice enough girl, but she is bossy. She is very serious. And very woke. And you ask yourself, well, I certainly do, why should our world, why should all the rules be decided by somebody who is bossy, serious, and woke? Where does that leave those of us who are frivolous and or playful, have a sense of humour, and are not woke? Are we now to live in, it's a bit like living in a world where this is the rule, big brother or big mother, in this case, decides what you are and aren't allowed to say. What is acceptable to say on TV and radio? And if you try and go outside the Overton window of acceptable discourse, you will be censored. And you can see that with the GB News people. They're constantly, I think they're in terror of the voice in their headphone, you know, the producer having a fit of panic about what Ofcom might say if they don't balance out somebody interesting and right with somebody crap and wrong like John Gaunt or Tom Harwood or the other loons that they get on.
They opt for self-censoring out of fear of bringing down the wrath of Ofcom on their heads, which is
the world.
All of these institutions, like the Electoral Commission, I was going through some screenshots. I was just clearing some crap off my computer, and I had a screenshot of the Electoral Commission members. Ironically, none of them would be elected. They'll all be appointed. And we are governed by people who have been appointed rather than elected. Yeah. And I'm thinking about people like the WEF. I'm talking about the, the Supreme Court. That we've got now that we never used to have.
That was Tony Blair's creation.
Anything to do with the UN, none of it elected. It's all appointed. And of course, they'll be appointing their buddies. And so we're governed essentially by communists, except for where we've actually voted. And we get the sort of Tory light.
We don't even get, they're not even Tory light. They're just the kind of green fascist uniparty.
Argument for me there.
This is another example, Dick, of just how the world has been. It's run by evil people. So we went out for dinner last night to play bridge with some friends, with a mutual friend that you know. I won't mention his name. And he's a barrister. And he's, you know, he's quite old school. And I imagine his chambers is quite old school as well. And he was telling me about how on next week, he's going to have to attend a compulsory, a CR, you know, the race, the where you're taught that if you're white, you've got white privilege and you're a racist. Designed to tell you to feel guilty about yourself and stuff. And he's got to go on one of these. Is it CRT? He's got to go on on one of these courses. And this has been imposed on all barristers' chambers and presumably all solicitors as well, by the regulatory body in charge of
diversity awareness. Is that the one?
It's where you they have to attend two sessions, one of which, first of all, they're introduced to self-hating, you know, if you're a white person. And then the second one, they've been given a reading list and they're invited to add to the discussion based on their reading of all these really crap books, like, you know, I'm White, I Hate Myself, or I haven't read these books, so I don't know what they're actually called. And you're thinking, hang on a second, these are people who've probably got good degrees and have got quite a grown-up job getting people, you know, defending them in court and stuff and
sending people to prison,
sending them to prison and stuff, and here they are being put on the naughty step and told that they're racist, and even if they don't think they're racist, that's probably because they're just unconscious racists. And you're thinking,
by their intellectual inferiors.
Yeah, and all that, they all have to do this. And if they opt out, it's probably going to be held against them. So,
sort of a career suicide sort of thing.
So, is it any wonder? Look, we're invited to think that our legal system is the envy of the world, and English common law is marvelous, and people come here because they can trust us and our legal system. And actually, the legal system has gone as well. It's not just the army and the church. It's the law. I'm sure we don't get equality before the law anymore. No,
forget about it.
I mean, it was a real eye-opener for me following some of Tommy Robinson's cases. That completely destroyed my faith. It is really, really biased. The order had come down from on high, get Tommy Robinson. And so the judges and the barristers did their job, but his defence never had a chance. I was really...
And also make sure that when he went to prison, he went to the most unsuitable one possible, where he wouldn't be able to eat any of the food provided to him, knowing it would be poisoned, and just had a thoroughly miserable time from which he wasn't expected to return. So, it's the odds were completely stacked against him.
I think you're right. I think it would have suited them if he'd been offed in prison. Mm-hmm. Because they decided that he was public enemy number one, even though he's way down the list of threats to this country. I think he's a hero.
No, didn't you know that right wing extremism is by far the biggest threat to our security right now? And like everything in history, everything is done in the name of our safety, isn't it? Even in the French Revolution, the terror was the Board of Safety, wasn't it? Robespierre, yeah. He was
nothing,
head of the Board of
Safety. Nothing changes, does
it? All about safety. No.
And the French Revolution was organised by the same people that are organising what's going on now. I mean, the same type of people.
What,
the same
WEF?
Elites. Well, the earlier precursor of the WEF.
They would have been, wouldn't they? Yes, they'd have bloody loved the WEF.
I think they were called Sabbatean Frankists. Look up Sabbatean Frankism. Right. It's kind of Masonic. It's Luciferian. It was organised by the same people. By the way, I wanted to talk to you briefly about special friend badges, because you saw that letter I sent you. It was really embarrassing. I've got the Dellingpole World site, which is run by our friend in Canada, but it has. I haven't had anyone who's written to that site, Hope and Community. I haven't had a letter, you know, an email forwarded from that site for over a year now. So I'm sorry if you've been emailing and you haven't got a reply. But where are we on special friend badges? Because you know I'm crap. I know I'm crap.
Lydia does them, and she gets messages direct from Canada. And when she gets the message, she's very efficient with them. But I think that chap who you emailed me, I'm not actually getting the message with it. I'm just getting your response. So
there was a kind of upsetting exchange where this
but you know went. with 600 or so of these going out, every now and again there's going to be someone who's spelt our name slightly wrong, and I mean that's often what it's down to. And it will bounce back 2 weeks later and we'll never get to hear about it. We do our best.
I'm very sorry for anyone who's tried to get a special friend badge and hasn't got it. And look, if that's the case, you write to me, jamesdellingpole@icloud.com. I'm not really scared about having my email. I mean, it's just jamesdellingpole@icloud.com. And just tell me what's happened and you will get your special friend badge. I'm not some kind of scamming operation where I try and fool innocent people into imagining there are these special friend badges out there, which have been made by elves from, what is it, Anglo-Saxon gold, isn't it? With
Anglo-Saxon gold and rubies.
And rubies, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. They do exist, and you can get one. And if you haven't got one because of the vagaries of my fulfillment system, which is not perfect, but we try, then write to me and you will get one. But also at the same time, I mean, the reason I forwarded that email to you from that chap, it was like, he started out, you know, I wanted to be your special friend, but I'm not your special friend anymore. I'm definitely not. And I said, so the final email I sent to him was, look, I'm really sorry about this. I will send you a special friend badge free just because, did I offer that? Anyway, I really did want to help him and give him a special friend badge, but he rejected me. And I was thinking, well, was he ever really a special friend? I think surely one of the things about following me and you as well is that people get to know us. They get to know what we're like and what our strengths and weaknesses are. And ultimately, I kind of think the deal is, if you want to support me, you do it because you want to, because you like the pod, and you like what I'm doing, and you think, I want to support James. You don't do it because I'm a tech whiz, and you don't do it because I'm really good at fulfillment of special friend badges.
And fulfillment is not your best.
It's not my best friend, but give me a bit of leeway. I really do. I love all my fans and followers and things, and I really appreciate the support, but yeah, give me a break. I'm not perfect, and I'm not sure that it ought to be a deal breaker that I've screwed up your thing because I haven't been maintaining my website in Canada properly, and you know, I think I'll get better at it now that I've got more time on my hands to really focus on the, you know, I'm trying to broaden out the platforms that I'm on. Have you seen that? I'm on Locals and subscribe star, obviously, and Patreon, and they're still working okay.
No, I struggle to find out which is the best place to go for you, because before we came on online here, I was looking to see which your most recent podcasts are so that we could talk about them, and just trying to find a place where that they are available in chronological order.
Yeah,
it's difficult. Talking of. Yeah. Meeting your fans, by the way.
Yes.
I went down to another third Wednesday that wasn't my local one last Wednesday because I was on holiday in Somerset, which was lovely. It struck me that it was an ideal opportunity to go somewhere where I've been meaning to go for a while, which was the Glastonbury third Wednesday, which meets at a pub called the George and Pilgrim. Have you ever been there?
I've only been to Glastonbury once, I think, and because obviously the town is very different from the festival. and it's got a big a big mound on it, hasn't it? Which is amazing.
It was dark, so I didn't see any of that. But I was in the middle of the town, and it's one of the most striking buildings in the town. It seems to be sort of like the 15th century stone thing. Absolutely phenomenal. A lovely bunch of people there, and a few had come just because I was there. So they thought, well, we might as well make the effort.
Yeah.
But it was lovely to meet another bunch. And just like my Ledbury Third Wednesday, it's a really diverse bunch of people, including this fantastic young nurse who was an unvaxxed nurse, so massive credit to her, and just general sort of the same conversations going on. And it's really nice to know that this is going on in about 40 different locations up and down the country once a month. And obviously I continue to be hugely proud of that, but do try and get along to Glastonbury at some point. It was a goodie.
Did really any of them have a Somerset burr?
The vaguest, not the full on sort of rosy cheeked sort of.
I think people don't anymore, Dick.
That you might like.
We've been turned into this land.
Homogenized,
yeah. It's really sad. Mm. But that, of course, is part of the Cabal's plan. They want us to become a kind of, not just a uni class, but a uni race, don't they? They want us just to kind of...
Well, look at the EU. They want the EU to be this generic sort of grey, splurgy mass of all elements of European culture combined into one, like it's been put into a blender. Absolute bollocks.
It's something to do with I think, trying to rebuild the Tower of Babel. I mean, you and I are now pretty well down the rabbit hole, but I think there are details that we're not quite up to speed on. One of them is deliberate. I mean, this is what they are doing. They're trying to rebuild the Tower of Babel, which of course is an affront to God, which is why he scattered the nations and we all speak different languages. They're trying to rebuild the Third Temple. They're trying to create heaven on earth. I think they're trying to build a savior machine, aren't they?
Is that what savior machine is?
I think it might be. I don't know. It's just a thought that's occurred to me.
But President Joe.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I think people like Francis Bacon,
the original one or the artist?
Yeah, no, St. Albans. Right. He, Verulam, he coined the phrase, or popularized it, knowledge is power. And I think that it is ultimately this quest for knowledge which enables man to become God and supersede God, which is what God hates most, I think. And it's where the Luciferians are at. It's where the people who despise us and view us as useless eaters and want to destroy our world, they have set themselves against God. They believe that it's what transhumanism is about. It's what Bill Gates is about. It's like, I can offer something better than the God-given immune system. And look, here are my crazy jabs, which you've got to take every 6 months. It's like that. To understand what's really going on, you need to understand that this is essentially a Luciferian project for humans to become as gods, as God,
right?
And to render God redundant, which they're never going to do. They'll never succeed. But how did I get onto this one? What was I talking about?
I don't know. I'm trying to. I was trying to think my way back to it, but it doesn't need a reason. Francis Bacon.
Yeah. Have you got any games for us or any
No, because they take so long to do. I've got so much stuff to do, and sitting down, even just coming up with the yes no game is a time consuming thing.
Do you think, Dick, we ought to go on a national tour of Dick and James podcasts?
Yes, obviously, but it's the logistics of the thing, isn't it? We need help. We need organisation. We need an army of people behind
us. I tell you part of my problem, and this may sound needy or something, but I find I've got to the age where I find it very, very tedious, annoying, no, discomforting to stay in places which are not my own home. And obviously, the idea...
people get like that.
Yeah. Obviously, the idea would be to have properties dotted all over the country where I've got my special bedroom. But it's... So I suppose that there is the kind of expense and disruption if we travelled further afield. But nevertheless, I think it's important we get out there, partly as a kind of... for the same things your Third Wednesdays do, which is that they bring like-minded folk together, but partly because you know, we're like kind of rock stars. I mean, obviously low-level rock stars, sort of indie kind of unable to afford roadies, but you know, with our acoustic guitar and a bit of charisma. Yeah. We need to get.
It is like bands. You know, comparing us to an indie band.
I'll tell you who I think we are.
Ride.
Maybe Ride. I think we are Neutral Milk Hotel.
Ah.
Do you think?
Yes. Those who love us deeply, but the rest of the world doesn't understand us.
Except that album was, I think we're across between...
In the Aeroplane Over the Sea.
Neutral Milk Hotel and late period Johnny Cash. How about that? Is that good?
I think it's too random. I don't know.
Do you not want to be? Did I tell you the story about this friend of mine? I can't remember who it was, who had to look after Johnny Cash on his last UK tour.
No,
he was his driver. And right. Do you know what Johnny Cash wanted to do when he was here? Most of all,
he wanted to go to a Third Wednesday.
No, Third Wednesday's post date Johnny Cash.
Didn't exist then.
He never lived to see one. What kind of thing would he like to... Okay, I'll give you a clue. It wasn't fox hunting. He didn't want to go fox hunting. But what other good things are there about this country, about Britain? Well, I suppose England, Wales and Scotland, actually. What good thing? Good.
He wanted to go grouse shooting.
No. What cultural, architectural thing might he have wanted to go and see? Historical.
Visiting cathedrals?
No, but you're getting on the right track.
Stonehenge.
What else that begins with C?
Stonehenge.
What else begins with C that he would like to see that's not cathedrals?
I don't know. I give up. What? Countryside.
There is a something on a cloud. I like to... Les Miserables, rather. Why am I all my cultural references going over... Okay. I'm trying to think of another clue. Your mother
there are
smells.
Times when we are,
your mother smells of elderberries, or is it
elderberries? He wanted to go and see a Monty Python film.
No, Dick. What?
He wanted to see the Holy Grail.
Edward I. What did Edward I build lots of on the Welsh borders?
Castles.
He wanted to go and see all the castles.
See, okay, right.
Yeah.
We got there eventually.
So that's what Johnny Cash did on the...
And what was his favourite castle?
I don't know. History is not related. Rather, my memory does not relate. There was... I saw one of the comments on one of the websites, you know, on my podcast, and somebody had given me, I think it was on the Apple one, they'd given me 4 stars, But they'd said, this is somebody in Australia who said, this podcast is a warning of what happens when you carry on smoking dope past the age of 40. And James Dellingpole is very funny, but unintentionally so. I was thinking, am I unintentionally
but still
funny?
Still four stars.
Yeah, I know.
Presumably out of five.
Yeah, out of five. But I thought that was pretty... pretty.
No, that's... scathing and yet complimentary.
It's been like, when did we last see? Okay, obviously we saw each other at the special original fam reunion, didn't we?
Yeah, that was amusing.
That was,
yes,
it was.
That was for listeners who don't know. That was me, James, our sister Helen, and our original mother and father, rather than any interlopers that might have come in. And we met up in a nice cafe in Worcester and immediately started taking the piss out of each other.
That's all we do. And it's quite interesting, isn't it, that people sometimes say, like, how did you end up being this voice of the resistance? Well, both of us, voices of the resistance. And, you know, why didn't you get fooled like everyone else was? And I think we're just like irresponsible sods, aren't we? We're just kind of like, we don't take things too seriously. We don't take the system too seriously.
I think if there is ever an opportunity to play for laughs, we take it, even when it's deeply inappropriate. And it's a tricky trait because you have to play that one quite carefully. I mean, even when arranging my friend Dave's funeral recently, I couldn't resist throwing in some laughs. So one of the tunes I chose during one of the solemn moments was the Monty Python theme tune. And
well done.
I wanted to bring a bit of levity into the whole procedure, and it went down very well.
I think always look on the bright side of life is one of the most requested funeral songs. I think, didn't our grandmother, Nanny Nancy, have it? Her, I think, maybe.
Yes, I think she did, yes. And she also had Wish Me Luck As You Wave Me Goodbye, which is like a wartime song.
That was good. That's absolutely right. You've put your finger on it. That we're always looking for the comedy angle. Always. Mm-hmm. Always. And it's an involuntary thing. It's like my mind is always, whenever I'm in like meetings, conference meetings, you probably have to do more of those than I do. I almost never, but
I try to avoid them.
My instant thought is, how can I disrupt this? And it's not even,
how can I provide mischief just for my own entertainment, just as a way of getting through? And you end up actually being more engaged in that meeting than you might have done otherwise, because you're paying attention to try and get some jokes in there. That's what I found.
Did you find? I found when the kids were at school, and we had to go, okay, so say it was the Remembrance Sunday service that at our school, which was a very big deal. And sometimes, you know, you when our children were there, you'd go and with the other parents, and you'd wear your poppy, and I'd be looking around thinking, looking at these old people who had children there. And I was thinking, well, I'm not like one of those old people. I'm really young. And I kept looking for ways to be naughty. And I was thinking, how embarrassing must it be to be the child of somebody like that? This kind of grinning loon, this sort of monkey creature who just wants to take the piss and make a fool of himself. Not remembering that he's got children there who might find it really, really embarrassing. And thinking about it.
And hit the jokes on them because they've got our genes.
They've got our genes, but also looking at our parents, that's what they were like. They spent the whole time being embarrassing and embarrassing us. I think in a way that
mother was the past master at it. She was just the best at saying the most embarrassing thing that she possibly could, as loud as she could, in front of the people you least wanted to be embarrassed in front of.
Yes.
You know, the other kids' parents who you might have respected, unlike your own. And yeah, no, she was very, very good at it. She is. She remains good at it to this day.
I don't think we're imagining it either. I do think that we did have, because everyone obviously thinks their parents are really embarrassing when they're a child. But I think our parents really were just in a league of their own. They were way more embarrassing mm-hmm. than other people's parents. Yep. I mean, you know, mother and father.
But our friends loved them for it, didn't they? I think our friends could probably see what they were about more than we did. And, you know, that. But then again, your friends are going to love it because they love watching you squirm.
But I think, Dick, that this, obviously, what we shouldn't really be just saying what the secret of our appeal is. It's for others to judge. But I think that might be it. That people look at us and realize that you don't have to be, you know, a good boy. You don't have to take everything seriously. We kind of give them permission to be naughty as well, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's difficult to analyze what your own shtick is, but I think definitely the humor bit and destroying your enemy with humor rather than spite is so much more satisfying. And on Twitter, for instance, it's the only way you'll get away with it. Half the time when for instance, back to the lesbian plumbing issue.
Yeah. lesbian to plumbing.
The possibilities are endless with that one. So I'd retweeted her whole terrible, obviously awful predicament. I retweeted as, who would have thought the answer to any problem would be lesbian plumbers? And I so wanted to say this never happened, or get over yourselves. It's not the worst thing that could happen to you. But no, just a little bit of humour, and they can't touch you for it most of the time.
Partly no, because, well, you know,
they won't get it.
You have to be careful, don't you? I mean, it's so easy to get bumped off
yeah.
social media now.
Yeah, we've all seen friends fall by the wayside, but somehow, oh God, this is just going to be a touch wood moment. But we've survived this far.
There's not enough wood around, Dick. You've got wood in your pocket.
No, this is a horrible laminate table. Oh look, I've got lots of wood there. There you go.
I found some.
Our American friends would say, knock on wood.
Are you thinking that even though things are getting really, really bad and they're going to get worse, so you've got like what's happening in Canada is just unbelievable.
Which definitely needs mentioning. Yeah.
And Australia. And
New Zealand.
Yeah.
We are incredibly lucky over here. I mean, Boris, for all his faults, somehow we've scraped through as liberated.
No,
come on. We are, though.
No. I'm not having that.
Not thanks to Boris. No,
it's off brand what you're saying there, and you will get lots of people. It's an illusion. This is what you can't play into the hands of the normies who think that we've dodged a bullet and it's all okay, and because of Boris's libertarian instincts.
But hear me out on this one, because we are now in a position where, for instance, the jab mandate has temporarily been dropped on nurses and things like that. Once you get through one of those things, they're not going to be able to pin it back down on you. And I don't think we could go into a Canadian situation having become semi-liberated. I don't think they could do it. I don't think they'd get away with it.
Mm. Yeah, maybe.
And if not, what is your theory on why we are less nailed down than other countries?
I think that this is the game they play, that they're constantly, if you apply constant pressure, what you get is backlash like they're having with the Canadian truckers like they're having to a degree in Australia and New Zealand. I just think it's that they are more cynical and more Machiavellian over here, because after all, we are the belly of the beast. You know, we've got the royal family, we've got the City of London. You know, we're one of the most cabal central places in the world. And I think that this is all just part of we'll take the pressure off for a while and make the resistance look slightly futile, enabling the kind of shit libs to post on Twitter, I don't know what all the fuss is about. I feel really free. What's everyone complaining about? I think that's how it works. I don't think we should take
I totally
solace.
Get the turning up the volume and then turning down the volume and all the other countries being used as a test bed for what they'll do here. I mean, if you look at Australia, obviously you've got, is it four massive states, and each one has got a slightly different take on dystopia, and they'll clearly work out which one works best and then apply it elsewhere. I get all that, but I can't get my head around how we within Europe, within the European countries, obviously not part of the EU, we're the ones that have come out with the least mandates and the least coercion and COVID bollocks.
Yeah.
Why us?
Moxa. I don't know.
Moxa, yeah.
Yeah, well...
I don't want to thank Boris for it, but... and it would have been worse under Starmer, because he wanted harder lockdown for longer.
Yeah.
So it does come back round to sort of, on some minor level,
yeah,
you know, even if it's 1% of gratitude to Boris, but you know, that's all I would want to give him.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're screwed, and we've got to keep fighting, and this is just a lull between battles. But it is very striking how much more free we are currently than the rest of the world.
Mm. Well,
I mean, where would you rather be right now? Where is better? Okay, Florida, I suppose.
Mexico,
maybe. Is that the place?
Or Zanzibar. There are a few pockets.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the problem is they've all got bloody mosquitoes.
Yeah, and Zanzibar. I mean, it's quite out of the way, isn't it?
Well, not if you live in East Africa. It's not. It's quite near. It's just right across the water if you live
very
in East Africa.
Very local. Very local if you're in East Africa.
Yeah. Mm. So why are my stupid lights already giving out? I'm sure I put a new battery in before. Look, it's going to give epileptic.
Oh, is that what your disco light is? Right. Mm,
it is.
Listen, pretty soon I've got to go and cook for my family.
I bet you're going to cook a nut roast or something.
That's exactly what I'm cooking.
Is it? Do you know what I'm going to cook for my family?
They're really nice with a bit of mint sauce.
Do you know what I'm cooking for my fam?
Is it baby panda again?
Yeah. How did you know that?
Well, because you always have baby panda on a Sunday.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Well, it's the Lord's Day.
Oh, and tell us what you're having first, and then we've got to have that brief conversation about fox slaughter.
Oh yeah. That's true. We have, haven't we? Should I change the battery on the lights? How disturbing is it?
I don't know.
By the way, dear viewer, what? Listeners, if you're watching this and my face isn't on it, if it's just Dick, I don't know what to do with my sodding Zoom. It's really annoying. I've been. It seems to have decided not to film me anymore. It's just like tech hates me.
I haven't had just me throughout this whole thing, have I? I thought it would only go on to me when I'm talking.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. That's what it should do. But we'll only know when I've you know, ended the meeting and we'll see. Yeah, I'm not actually having panda, Dick, for a change. I'm having a Madder Jaffrey chicken curry.
All right.
I love Madder Jaffrey. It's my favourite
cookbook. A very untraditional Sunday of you.
Yeah. But it's good. I haven't had a curry for ages. And my curries are better than the ones you get in Indian restaurants. Anyway, foxes. We've got to talk about foxes. A, because...
Well,
A is a kind of cleansing device for... Do you think it's sad, Dick, that there are some people out there who are, have been so poisoned, this is the best word, poisoned by the animal rights movement, which is in itself a war by the cabal on tradition and the countryside and all the things that are good in the world, that they think that my position on fox hunting is so reprehensible that they don't love me anymore, or they don't want to. And I kind of think, well, everyone's got stuff that they do that other people might not approve of. It doesn't mean they're a bad person. You know, some people, I don't know.
No, well, it is a biggie for a lot of people.
But it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Oh. We should be more tolerant.
Well, I came up with a theory the other day that I have possibly killed more foxes than you as of my return from Third Wednesday Glastonbury the other night. Dark country lane, Somerset, late at night. And you're going through, you know what the roads are like down there. They're like bocage, aren't they?
Yeah, with high hedges.
Single lane tracks. Mm. And you're driving through. Mr. Fox haplessly trots in front of me. It would be either me in the hedge or curtains for Mr. Fox. And unfortunately, in this instance, there was a bump and there was a fox under the wheel. And I felt absolutely dreadful about it, racked with guilt. I mean, I know you don't want to kill foxes any more than I do. But so the rest of the journey home, I was filled with remorse and feeling dreadful about this. But obviously much, much more alert for wildlife at that point.
Yeah.
At which point, and I didn't tell you about this bit before,
yeah,
driving along the road in front of me, I spotted this white thing wiggling about. What was it?
It wasn't a white stag.
It was a badger's ass waddling away in front of me. And I clocked it way early and was therefore able to slow right down and let old Brock find his way into the hedge before I got there, thus avoiding the second kill of the night. So in the way, poor old Mr. Fox took a hit for old Brock.
Had old Brock been tubercular, you might have been doing him a favour, doing the cattle population a favour.
Similarly, well, Mr. Fox might have been on his way to decimate someone's chicken hut.
Yeah, she might have been on her way to feed her baby fox cubs. Have you thought about that?
Stop that. I have thought about that.
You and I,
not nice.
I think one of the great misconceptions about people who like shooting and hunting and fishing and so on is that they somehow hate wildlife, and nothing could be further than the truth. We actually love animals.
No, the opposite is true. Yes.
Yeah, I get very upset by animal suffering, which is one of the great things about fox hunting. It's very quick when they go. If on the rare occasions, I was thinking about this. I've been hunting about 20 times in my life. I think I've probably seen a fox on those hunts maybe about 5 out of those 20. I've never ever seen a fox get killed. I've even been at a hunt where a fox gets killed. It's just kind of, it's quite rare.
Making it possibly the most inefficient method of pest control ever conceived.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, the fox.
As I said, I'm probably responsible for the death of more foxes than you. So, you know, pour the hate onto Dick, not James, on this one.
I think, listeners. I would have been haunted, Dick.
I am the fox killer.
But before, I don't want to plant guilty thoughts in your head, but I think what would have worried me is if I wasn't sure the fox was dead. It was definitely dead, you reckon?
Don't worry, all of that went through my head, but it was a big hard bump. But then I also had the dog in the car with me. It was the sort of country lane that it was single track. If I'd stopped,
good point,
all sorts of things, you know, You can't stop on those lanes, because if someone's coming the other way and you are just stopped in the middle, by the time I'd had all these thoughts, I was way much further on than I could have been. Anyway, all of these thoughts occurred to me, and I'll be racked with guilt for the rest of my life. But
I was once driving along.
It is country living, Everyone's hit something at some point.
Absolutely. The other day I saw this car, it clipped a pheasant, the car in front of me, and I could see that the pheasant was still running around, but it was not, you know, not happy. I stopped the car and went and finished it off to make sure it was dead. And obviously I put it in the boot and took it home and ate it, which I think is what you should do. Dick, can we make sure that we do another podcast sooner rather than later? And also, if people think it's a good idea for Dick and James to do a tour, can you let us know and give us some ideas about how we make it happen and how it would work and stuff? You know, whether we'd sell lots of tickets and stuff, and what exactly sexual favors you would expect of us in return, or rather what you're prepared to offer us.
Having established that we don't do dick pics already.
We absolutely don't do dick pics. Well, actually we might for, how much would they cost though?
If the money was right,
I think it could come
with your special friend badge.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. So everyone, I love you and Dick loves you too. And don't forget, Patreon, Subscribestar, Locals, Substack. I don't care which one you choose, but like support me. It's great. You'll feel better for it. Have you noticed that, Dick, that when you, just before we go, when you say your prayers, that the ones that are most satisfying when you pray for other people are the kind of ones where they're not your immediate family who are a kind of given. I mean, I'm always praying for you and the rest of the core
family. Yeah, likewise.
But when you pray for people who kind of are quite annoying, sometimes it feels more effective. It feels like God listens more because
they need it more.
Well, yeah. I don't know. That's my final Sunday thought for you. Yeah, let's do another one soon, and let's hope that my face is on this podcast. Because if not,
bloody hell, yeah.
Good. All right then. Well, okay. Have a good nut roast.
Right, I'm going to go and cook. I'm going to go and get those roast potatoes on. And I'll speak to you soon then, brother.
Great. Okay. Right. Bye. Okay. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye.